can't dry your tears on the telephone.
Good morning, sweet, beautiful Texas. A little Whiskey Myers to get your Lone Star weekend started off on the right foot. I'm Cable Smith. Thank you so much for joining me on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show, presented by Hoff Power Polaris and Chevy Silverado. I hope that everybody has big plans to hit the turkey woods or maybe enjoy the crappie spawn this weekend. I know I can't wait to do a little crappie fishing myself this afternoon. And man, oh man, we've got a great show lined up for you fine folks today. So pour yourself another cup of coffee. Maybe pull that stool just a little bit closer around the old campfire, because we've got a lot to get into. And off the top, we'll hear a story of one of the most amazing whitetail bucks I've ever heard about when Trevor Brittingham drops in to talk about the 14-year-old South Texas buck he harvested this past November. Trevor actually started hunting this deer when the buck was 10 years old. Think about that for a second. That is absolutely amazing. But Trevor will be here to talk about his experience chasing this ghost-like buck that became known as Indigo. And it is certainly a whitetail story for the ages. I'm looking forward to having Trevor tell us all about it. Then we will spend a couple segments cutting up with one of our favorite up-and-comers. Well, actually, you might say he's already arrived on the Texas music scene, but William Clark Green will be here, and we'll talk some hunting and fishing and hear some brand new Texas music. So I apologize to all of you anglers out there, myself included, as I did promise a fishing-heavy show this morning. But this happened to be the only time William could drop by, as he happened to be in town touring. And so I'll make it up to you guys and gals next week. We will definitely get into a lot of fishing talk. Real quick, a couple things off the Lone Star Outdoors Show news desk. Don't forget that our April Photo of the Month contest is going on right now. We've already had a ton of great submissions, but y'all keep them coming, because we've got a great prize this month. Of course, Costa Del Mar is sponsoring the contest, and the winner for April will get to customize their own pair of Costa Del Mar sunglasses. And then, of course, all of the 12 monthly winners will compete for the 2013 grand prize hunt package, which once again will take place down at Coons Canyon Ranch. And it is a spring turkey / exotic buck combo hunt package that you will get to join me on next spring. So pretty cool stuff there. Let's see what else. Everybody needs to be following along with what's going on in the United States Senate right now regarding gun control. There's some hearings going on, and some pretty infuriating legislation is trying to be introduced. I mean, right now they're in the very preliminary stages, but it's an attack on our Second Amendment, and everybody needs to be writing their representatives, their senators, and definitely support the NRA. We are facing trying times in our country right now, and we need to stand united, that is for sure. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Trevor Brittingham, and we will hear the tale of Indigo, the ancient South Texas buck. That's coming up only on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show. Tell me you're trying to cure a 7-year ache. See what else your old heart can take. Boys say, when is he gonna give us some room? But girls say, God, I hope he comes back soon.
Frisco Gun Club is a one-of-a-kind facility offering a luxury gun range, club, and retail pro shop, selling firearms, ammo, accessories, and apparel. With 36 handgun lanes and 4 rifle lanes, it's the largest indoor range in the country. Gunsmiths are on site, and CHL and safety training classes are available. Frisco Gun Club is open to the public and has a variety of annual memberships, from entry level to private VIP club, complete with full bar, cigar room, and upscale dining. Call 855-FRISCO-CLUB, that's 855-FRISCO-CLUB, or visit friscogun.com. Opening summer 2013.
Need to buy a trailer? Well, Big Tex Trailers is DFW's number one source for trailers. In addition to utility trailers, we have the largest selection of cargos anywhere. CM Cargos, Wells Cargos, Hallmark, Cargo Craft, and Pace. You want it, we got it. Come and get it. Call 972-501-0200 or go to BigTexDFW.com. That's Big Tex Trailers, tough as a Texas Longhorn.
Did you know there's a bank that will pay you to be its customer? That's right. Lone Star Ag Credit is a cooperative, and since it's owned by its stockholders, pays millions in dividends each year. That's free money to every borrower. Lone Star Ag Credit serves people all over Northeast Texas, assuring you competitive interest rates on real estate loans, rural home loans, livestock and farm and ranch loans. Contact Lone Star Ag Credit today at 800-530-1252 or on the web at LoneStarAgCredit.com. Equal housing lender.
Hey y'all, Cable Smith here for Tioga Retrievers. As bird hunters, we expect the most out of our gun dogs. And that's why I sent my sweet girl Belle to Angie and Tim Becker at Tioga Retrievers. Not only were her manners and obedience spot on in the blind and in the field, but Belle picked up over 200 birds in her first season. So whether you want a well-rounded hunting dog or just a well-mannered companion for the home, Tioga Retrievers has you covered. Located in Aubrey, Texas, visit TiogaRetrievers.com. That's T-I-O-G-A Retrievers.com.
Coons Canyon Ranch in Rock Springs, Texas specializes in exotics such as axis deer and black buck. Coons Canyon offers quality animals at a price the working man can afford. Right now, save 10% on any package of multiple animals. Military personnel, police, and firefighters also get 10% off. Lodging is available upon request, as are other exotic species. Visit CoonsCanyonRanch.com for your next exotic trophy hunt. That's CoonsCanyonRanch.com.
Chevy Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup on the road, and that's just what you'd expect from your truck, the Chevy Silverado. From worksite to home front, dependability, based on longevity, 1981 through July 2012, full-size pickup registrations.
Howdy Outdoors fans, Michael Curvey, Internet Manager at Graf Chevrolet. We're proud to be the official dealership of the Lone Star Radio Show. We have a large selection of new Chevys starting at just $12,999. Lowest overhead means lowest price in North Texas. We'll beat any price on a new Chevy guaranteed. Drive a little, save a lot. Chevys are cheaper in Grand Prairie. Call 800-560-3518 or shop online 24/7 at GrafChevrolet.com. Graf Chevrolet, serving Texas outdoors fans since 1952. Chevy runs deep.
Once I was a carpenter and man, my hands were calloused. I could swing a metal mallet sure and straight. But I took to the highway, a poet young and hungry, and I left.
Cable Smith, welcoming everybody back to the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, powered by Hoff Power Polaris and Chevy Silverado. Great tune there from the Avett Brothers, Once and Future Carpenters, the name of that one. I certainly appreciate each and every one of you fine folks for tuning in today and letting me share a part of your weekend with you. We're about to hear an epic whitetail story for the ages. But real quick, this segment is proudly brought to you by Lone Star Light, the official beer of our show, and really the only choice to celebrate a successful day in the turkey woods, or maybe you went out to the lake and came home with a full string or a crappie. Either way, grab a Lone Star Light to celebrate your next successful outdoor adventure. Well, without further ado, let's go ahead and welcome our first guest this morning. I read about this hunter's whitetail hunt, a very special whitetail hunt, in a recent edition of Lone Star Outdoor News, and it's not very often, heck, it might be never, that you hear about a 14-year-old whitetail buck being harvested. Friends, I'm here to tell you that is exactly what happened in South Texas this past whitetail season. And Trevor Brittingham was the lucky hunter fortunate enough to harvest the deer that affectionately became known as Indigo. Trevor, thanks for dropping in today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we are certainly glad to have you, and I'm looking forward to hearing this story about the ancient whitetail buck Indigo. But first of all, what have you been up to lately?
Oh, just keeping up. I actually just got back last Saturday from a muskox hunt up in northern Canada.
Oh, wow. How did that go?
It was great. I got a new definition of cold while I was up there, but we had four hunters, and all of us got tremendous muskox. One of which is my dad, Jack Brittingham. He got one that's could potentially be the new archery world record. So we're looking to go to the Pope and Young convention here shortly. Hopefully he'll get officially scored there and might take number one.
Wow, that is incredible. And yeah, the Pope and Young Club convention, their biannual convention, is going on in Dallas this weekend. So maybe we will see you out there this afternoon.
But hey, you know, you're a lifelong hunter. Your father is a renowned big game hunter, Jack Brittingham, like you mentioned. But today I want to talk about a very special buck who actually lived to the ripe old age of 14. You know, that's twice the average age of most white-tailed deer.
Yeah, it's nuts, and it's hard to believe. You know, if it wasn't for the kind of management that we do and constant video, anytime somebody's in a blind, they've got a video camera and game cameras year-round. And you know, if it wasn't for all that stuff, it'd be almost impossible to believe that this is the same buck throughout the 14 years. But you know, we've been able to keep tremendous records, especially with our manager down there in South Texas, Cade Green. He keeps a log of every buck that we get on game camera, and every tape of video goes into this cabinet there in his office. And so we're able to kind of go back and track this deer throughout his life. And it's a incredible story on this guy. He's just a survival expert of a deer.
No kidding. Well, hey, tell us a little bit about the ranch that you guys hunt down there in South Texas. And also, how did you first become aware of this buck, Indigo?
Okay, yeah, he's, the ranch is Rancho Encantado. It's down there in Dimmitt County, and it's 5,000 acres, high-fenced. And, you know, the cool thing about a lot of the South Texas properties, including Rancho Encantado, is that, you know, even if they get high-fenced, those are predominantly native genetics. You know, most people don't bring in breeder bucks down there, and we haven't done that with ours. And so,
oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, the South Texas genetic is one of the toughest out there as far as whitetails are concerned. We've actually interviewed folks on this show who have tried to import breeder bucks, you know, and release them onto their ranches down there in South Texas. You know, $3,000-$5,000 deer, and they're dead within a week because those native Texas deer just kill them.
Yeah, they're definitely fighters down there. That's one thing that's a significant difference between our South Texas property and the property we hunt in East Texas, is that bucks will fight, break up, get locked up, all that stuff way more frequently down there than in East Texas. Mm-hmm. But so this buck, we've been watching him, you know, ever since he was about 3 years old is when he was recognizable. You know, most big up and coming bucks develop their rack enough to where you can follow them from the time they're three throughout the rest of their life. And it was the same with him. We trailed him and, you know, kept track of him. He was pretty regular, like most deer are, up until he was about five or so. And from there, he just turned into his elusive indigo self. You know, he started going unseen for a couple of years in a row. And you know, every time we would get a game camera picture of him, it'd be mid to late February. Huh. He'd go unseen the entire hunting season, and he'd show up afterwards just once or twice, and that was it.
Mm. Okay, and so why the name Indigo?
You know, I'm not entirely sure. I've always just figured that it was a name that Cade gave him because of how elusive he is and the time that he shows up. You know, it's kind of twilight-type buck. He doesn't come in until right before dark, and I figured he got his name from the dim blue left in the sky when he would very first sneak out of the brush to get some corn.
Yeah, well, you've obviously got to be A, pretty smart, and B, almost like a ghost if you're going to live to be 14 years old as a South Texas white-tailed buck. So, Trevor, how many times did you actually see Indigo on the hoof?
In the 5 years that I hunted him, and I didn't ever see him, the first time I saw him was when he was 10 years old. But in the 5 years I was after him, I only saw him on the hoof three times, and two of those were this year, the weekend that I got him.
Think about that. I mean, you hunted this deer for 5 years. The first time you saw him was when he was 10. I've got a deer hanging on my wall in my living room, a South Texas buck, that was 4.5 years old when I shot him. I mean, that deer didn't even live as long as you chased Indigo. I mean, that's insane.
But yeah, the first time I saw him was back when he was 10. And he'd been unseen for almost 3 years. In fact, when we found his 7-year-old sheds. But after that, you know, didn't see him for the rest of that year, and didn't see him when he was 8 or 9. And so I'm sitting in this field we call Brandon Field, and up in the tower blind, and I've got some does and fawns and young bucks all around me. And then all of a sudden this big 160 class mainframe 8 steps out and starts chasing them all around. And I remember thinking back, I remember how old his face looked. but he had the body of a 4-year-old because, you know, his body had shrunk back down. But we try not to shoot any up-and-coming younger deer, and because of that, I chose to just video instead of taking a shot. And he ran around me for probably 15, 20 minutes in bow range, and I just always remember how lumpy his head looked and big old Roman nose, but he just had this small body.
Yeah.
And so I decided to hold off. I took the video back to Cade, and we sat down and went through all the archive pictures and footage and found some video of him when he was 5 years old back in 2003 in that same field. And that's kind of when we figured out exactly which buck this was. And he goes, "That deer's ancient. Go kill that deer." And it took me another 5 years to see him again.
Wow.
Well, I mean, it's incredible. But to be honest, you've killed bigger bucks before. So it's like Indigo almost, you know, he got under your skin. So why the obsession with this buck?
You know, I have. I've been fortunate to kill some really big deer. And one of the things that I like, I'd actually rather shoot a 10-year-old 160 than a 6- or 7-year-old 180. There's something about going after the oldest, smartest buck in the woods that I like more than, you know, just trying to go get the biggest.
I hear you. I mean, there's definitely something to be said about going after the wiliest old critter in the woods. Tell us a little bit about Indigo's rack. I mean, it's very unique, and folks can actually go see a picture of it at our website at LoneStarOutdoorsShow.com. But, I mean, he's still carrying a ton of mass at 14 years old.
He is. He had, you know, roughly just shy of 40 inches of mass at 14 years old. And in fact, I've got his skull right here in my office, and I've got his sheds from when he was 7. And what's amazing is the transformation that he went through. And that's something I need to send y'all a picture of, or his 7-year-old sheds. But he went from being a real crazy, non-typical 6x4 with shorter tines but more trash to being this big mainframe 8. And eventually, when I got him when he was 14, he was a mainframe 9. But, you know, the difference from his sheds, the one thing you can really tell that's him, he kept his split G3s on both sides throughout his life, and even though he lost some of the G4s and G5s and put them back on different years, he always had a big gap on his left side between his G2 and G3, and he had those forked G3s on both sides, and that's something that you don't see very often.
Right.
Other good defining factor of him is that he's not even 14 inches wide, and he's always been a real narrow buck.
Uh-huh.
And just the curl on his tines, once he didn't have that back when he was 7, but as he got older and older, you know, starting about when he was 10, and of course we didn't see him and don't have any sheds from him when he was 11 or 12, but he started putting on those hard-leaning G2s, and he's just incredible. He's the only buck I've ever seen where you can hold him up by sticking one finger underneath the tip of his G2s, and it works on both of them.
So Indigo carried a very defining and unique rack pretty much his entire life. And now that we know, you know, a little bit about the history of this amazing whitetail buck, we need to knock out a quick break. So, Trevor, are you cool to stick around for a few more minutes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So when we come back, we'll get all the details of that fateful day this past fall where you were finally able to get that big boy on the ground. We'll hear the rest of Indigo's story after the break, only on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show.
When I sat down in the front seat, you turned on the radio, and them sad old songs coming out of them speakers was solid country gold. Then I noticed the stranger was ghost white pale when he asked me for a light, and I knew there was something strange about this ride.
Hey y'all, Cable Smith here to remind you about Game Guard, the official camo of the Lone Star State and the Lone Star Outdoors Show. So whether I'm on the water or in the woods, Game Guard is the name I trust. Hitting the lake for the spring crappie spawn? Choose from 13 different colors in the microfiber vent back fishing shirt. These high quality feather light shirts offer unmatched comfort and performance. And my favorite part? They are virtually wrinkle free.
ideal for the outdoorsman or woman on the go. Maybe you're headed out to chase a big gobbler this season. Well, Game Guard's full line of outerwear is Texas Tough, made by Texas hunters for the Texas hunter. So do yourself a favor and visit GameGuard.net for all your hunting and fishing apparel needs. Game Guard, the official camo of the Lone Star Outdoors Show. Chevy Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup on the road, and that's just what you'd expect from your truck, the Chevy Silverado. From worksite to home front, dependability based on longevity, 1981 through July 2012, full-size pickup registrations. BioBore EB is the premier gasoline additive that combats the negative effects ethanol has on an engine. Its comprehensive formula is designed to protect marine engines and marine environments, yet also works great in all 2- and 4-stroke engines. It prevents phase separation and ethanol-related engine problems while stabilizing fuel for 18 months. BioBore's detergents also clean the entire fuel system of carbon and varnishes. BioBore EB has the best treat rate in the industry. 1 ounce treats an amazing 15 gallons of gas. Available at your local sporting goods store or visit BioBore.com today.
Cinnamon Creek Ranch is not your typical archery club. It's a one-of-a-kind archery facility with indoor and outdoor ranges, a full pro shop, and 6 different 3D courses. Cinnamon Creek was designed by hunters for hunters, located on 80 acres in Roanoke, Texas, and offering over 200 3D targets to shoot at. This one-of-a-kind event facility was designed with the bow hunter in mind. Call 817-439-8998 or visit us at CinnamonCreekRanch.com. That's CinnamonCreekRanch.com.
Howdy folks, I'm Lee Hoffbauer for Hoffbauer's Outdoor Superstore in Gulfway, Texas. We hope you love listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show, because we do, and we're proud to be a title sponsor. Now listen up, we here at Hoffbauer Outdoor Superstore have got some great deals for you folks that love the great outdoors. Whether you're needing a brand new Polaris ATV or maybe a Polaris Ranger to ride around, check your deer feeders, get to and from the deer blind, maybe to get you down to the dove patch, whatever your needs are, we can fix you up with a brand new Polaris today. Now we're also a New Holland tractor and equipment dealer. Now I'm just speculating, but maybe you need a new tractor and shredder to shred around your deer blinds, maybe clean up around deer camp, or maybe even shred a few lanes in the old sunflower patch. Now, we've got lots more than just Polaris and New Holland, so come check us out today, Hoffbauer's Outdoor Superstore in Gulfway, Texas. You can check us out on the web at hpolaris.com. Better yet, just come see us. Highway 84 West in Gulfway, Texas, and in Central Texas for over 48 years now. And folks, we couldn't have stuck around this long. We were steering you wrong.
Hey y'all, it's Charlie Robinson, and you're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Well, I got ties to show, a backbone made of silver. Well, I got Willie playing on my radio. I had an
feeling good again. Some classic Charlie Robinson for you on a Lone Star weekend. I'm Cable Smith, welcoming everybody back to the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, powered by Chevy Silverado and Hoff Power Polaris. If you're just tuning in, we are talking whitetails this morning with Trevor Brittingham. Specifically, we're getting into the story of the 14-year-old South Texas whitetail buck that affectionately became known as Indigo over the years because of his reclusive, almost ghost-like nature. And we'll pick it back up with Trevor momentarily. But first, I want to remind you to get to Cabela's, the world's foremost outfitter, to experience legendary selection and service. Let expert outfitters show you all the newest hunting, fishing, and camping gear, as well as the best in authentic outdoor apparel and footwear at tough-to-beat prices. And you'll get free shipping when you shop online and ship your order to one of Cabela's 3 great Texas locations. Cabela's, world's foremost outfitter. Well, let's go ahead and pick it back up with Trevor Brittingham. Thanks for sticking around throughout the break, Trevor. And to say that you made numerous special trips to South Texas just to hunt this buck would be a drastic understatement.
I did.
And like we mentioned before the break, you know, the first time you actually saw him on the hoof was when he was a 10-year-old. And, you know, he goes missing for 2-3 years in between there, and I'm sure that you guys had to think that this buck was dead.
We did, actually. From the time he was 10, and he disappeared for a couple of years there, I figured he was probably dead, but I hunted his areas anyway. Every time I went down there for the past 5 years, I sat in one of 3 blinds that was kind of his home location, his home base, and hoping he might step out. And you know, we had another big deer in that area that I was also targeting through some of that time, but I was really really holding out hope that he was still alive and that he'd show himself.
Mm-hmm.
And it took until the helicopter survey that Cade ran down there when this was not this past season, the one before, but he was 13 years old, and Cade called me up and said, "Hey, I've got a picture of Indigo. He's still alive." And I said, "You're joking." He goes, "No." He goes, "I jumped him 150 yards during the helicopter survey from the feeder that you hunted for the past 3 years."
Wow.
So.
Well, everything changed this fall. And you know, just reading this article here in Lone Star Outdoor News, it looks like this thing came down to the last second of the last day of your hunt.
It really did. I thought my hunt was over, to be honest. I saw him on Friday evening of that weekend at 530 yards. He skirted the brush line across the entire food plot. And so I wasn't ready to take a shot at that distance. And by the way, I hunted him with a bow the first 3 years. And after that, I decided to pick up the rifle, which I don't do often, but he's that kind of buck.
Mm-hmm.
But I spent Saturday of that weekend sighting in the rifle for exactly 530 yards and went and sat out that evening and didn't see him and sat there again Sunday. And Sunday, I watched that breast line about every 3 minutes. I'd scan the whole thing with my binoculars. And finally, it got so dark, I could see a couple other bucks that I'd been watching the whole time that were three-year-old 10-point type bucks. And once it got to the point where I couldn't make out their antlers, I said, "All right, my time's up. He wins, and that's it." And so I started packing up my bags, and I had a bunch of deer milling around by me, and it was so dark as to the point where they're all kind of just black blobs unless you got your binoculars up and really focused on them. But I packed everything up, and I looked out to the north of the blind, and I saw something walking toward me, and it was walking real aggressive. So I was like, "All right, that has to be a mature buck. I might as well take a look before I climb out of here." So I dug my binoculars back out, and I looked at him, and I couldn't see much. It was so dark, but I could see just enough as he crossed in front of me. The light reflected off of those G2s. And my heart rate just went through the roof, and I started scrambling for the gun. And I got the gun up, and the scope wasn't near as good as my binoculars, apparently, because I had to actually take it back down and double check, make sure I was looking at the right deer. Because, you know, and when you hunt them for 5 years and never see them, you know, except for 530 yards, it doesn't make sense that he would stroll by at 50 yards.
Right.
So I got another look at him, and it was definitely him. I gave him a grunt call, just vocal grunt, and he looked at me, and when I saw how narrow he was, that really confirmed it for me. And I got the gun up, and I was shaking so bad that I jerked the trigger, jerked it horribly.
Oh.
One of the reasons I picked the gun I was using, it was the manager's gun. It had a jewel trigger in it that was set to, you know, about half a pound. It was super light trigger, so if it wasn't for that, I probably would have screwed up the shot, and I'd never have seen this deer again. But I ended up hitting him just right behind the shoulder on his left side, and when I gave him the grunt call, he must have turned quarter toward me because it came out mid-body on the backside. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. He turned a 180 and ran back to where he had come from, and my heart dropped. I just knew that I'd messed up the shot because at 50 yards with a rifle, you know, a deer shouldn't be spinning around and running away when he gets hit that close. And so I thought I grazed him at the very most, and I got down there and found little bitty drops of blood, which also made me think that it was a grazing shot.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily we had a fresh rain earlier, and it was easy to follow his tracks through that field, and I made it about 60 or 70 yards and saw him just laying right there in the field.
Awesome. Wow. That's incredible, man. So I guess, did you have a biologist or anyone look at this deer because it really is kind of a freak of nature to live that long?
No, we've sent his teeth off. One of the things about our deer is because of the kind of nutrients that they get, their teeth don't really wear down as fast. But, I did get a look at his teeth once we got him back to the shop, and his bottom teeth weren't as bad as his tops, but his tops were below the gum line.
Oh, wow.
And he would have gotten an infection and died from that. But what's worse is the reason he was walking aggressive toward me he had just come from a fight, and actually when I walked up on him and I went and got Cade, and Cade walked up on him, first thing he asked me is, how many times did you shoot him? I said, just once. And he goes, well, what's that other hole down there? And he had taken a tine to the stomach and was bleeding fresh blood right down his leg. It was still dripping off of him when I walked up on him.
Wow.
And so he wouldn't have made it another week, let alone another year.
Wow. 14 years old and still dishing it out.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He must have known that he was on his way out and decided he was going to go ahead and go out with a bang.
Yeah.
No kidding, man. Well, hey, congratulations on finally getting Indigo on the ground. I know that you guys had been tracking him since he was a three-year-old, and he had gone through a lot of changes, but always kept those, you know, specific characteristics on his massive rack. Man, 14 years old. You don't hear of, I've never heard of a deer reaching, a buck reaching that ripe old age, but man, congratulations, Trevor. Really is a very unique and cool story of your relationship with Indigo.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel the same way. And, you know, when I walked up on him, I literally spent about 15 minutes just sitting down, thanking God and halfway crying about the fact that it finally all happened and that he was laying right there in front of me.
Man, that is too cool. And definitely a story that needed to be told. So we appreciate your time this morning, Trevor. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And I'll if I ever come across another deer like this, I'll be sure to give you another story on it as well.
Sounds good, bud. And in the meantime, I'm sure that this story will be one that's told around campfires for years to come.
Yeah, I'll never forget this one.
I wouldn't either, my friend. Hey, Trevor, thanks again.
Thanks.
So there you have it, the tale of the Indigo buck. And I tell you what, you don't hear very often of a buck reaching 14 years of age. I mean, that's more than twice the average age of a white-tailed buck. And goodness, to find out that he was still out there fighting up until the day he died, well, that is certainly a white-tailed story for the ages. Let's knock out a quick break. When we come back, we'll be joined by a lifelong Texas outdoorsman who also happens to moonlight as a honky-tonker. We'll hear some great Texas music and talk some hunting with William Clark Green after the break, only on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Baskins, your Western and workwear headquarters, has all of the latest in Western clothing. Come on in to find the hottest styles of jeans, boots, hats, and belts from your favorite Western brands. Be sure to check out our great lineup of Wrangler fashions. Baskins is a Wrangler PRCA dealer with a full selection of your favorite Wrangler jeans and shirts. Also, check out Baskins' selection of workwear and flame-resistant clothing. Go to Baskins.com for all locations and store information, and check us out on Facebook for monthly contests. Baskins, Western and workwear.
Holmes Williams with Texas Insurance and Financial Services is a passionate outdoorsman, and that's why he understands the importance of limiting your risk, sheltering your game, and protecting your assets. So whether you want to protect your hunting range, sporting club, or are a guide or outfitter, Texas Insurance and Financial Services has you covered. Property, general liability, workers' comp, auto, even foreign recovery and emergency medical for that African safari. Call Holmes Williams with Texas Insurance and Financial Services at 512-797-7600 or email him at holmes@txins.com.
Need to buy a trailer? Well, Big Tex Trailers is DFW's number one source for trailers. In addition to utility trailers, we have the largest selection of cargos anywhere. CM Cargos, Wells Cargos, Hallmark, Cargo Craft, and Pace. You want it, we got it. Come and get it. Call 972-501-0200 or go to BigTexDFW.com. That's Big Tex Trailers, tough as a Texas Longhorn.
Cable Smith here for Magnolite, a Texas-based lighting company that's been outfitting the United States military since the 1960s. Over the past decade, Magnolite has continued to support our troops, but now they have over 200 lights ideal for your hunting and fishing needs, like the 35-watt HID camouflage Go Light Striker with handheld remote. That's 15 million candle power in the palm of your hand, ideal for predator and hog hunting. They also have remote-controlled floodlights, feeder lights, and LED boat lights. So go Texan and go Magnolite. Check them out at www.magnolite.com for all your outdoor lighting needs. If you're in the market for a firearm, you need to know about STI International. Based out of Georgetown, Texas, they're 100% employee-owned and offer the best warranty and customer service in the business. STI is renowned worldwide for exceptional fit and function. The patented 2011 high-capacity system proved so successful in shooting competitions that over 80% of competitors used STI guns or pistols built on STI frames at the USPSA National Championships. To see their full line of premier pistols, visit STIGuns.com or check them out on Facebook at STI Firearms. STI, the continuing evolution of the 1911.
Hi, I'm Craig Boddington. I'd like to invite you to become a member of Dallas Safari Club, one of the world's leading hunting and conservation organizations. As a member, you'll receive Game Trails magazine, a monthly newsletter, and invitations to our monthly meetings and special activities. Join Dallas Safari Club, an international organization based in Dallas, supporting hunting and conservation worldwide. For more information, call 800-9-GO-HUNT or visit our website at www.biggame.org.
Frisco Gun Club is a one-of-a-kind facility offering a luxury gun range, club, and retail pro shop, selling firearms, ammo, accessories, and apparel. With 36 handgun lanes and 4 rifle lanes, it's the largest indoor range in the country. Gunsmiths are on-site, and CHL and safety training classes are available. Frisco Gun Club is open to the public and has a variety of annual memberships from entry-level to private VIP club, complete with full bar, cigar room, and upscale dining. Call 855-FRISCO-CLUB, that's 855-FRISCO-CLUB, or visit friscogun.com. Opening summer 2013.
Hey, this is Chris Kamen with the Dallas Mavericks. Thanks for listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
But it's alright. When morning comes, I'm gonna put up a fight. Yeah, it's alright. When my big city baby's up all night. My big city baby's up all night.
Gable Smith, welcoming everybody back to the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, powered by Hoff Power Polaris and Chevy Silverado. We are about to talk some hunting and hear some great Texas music with William Clark Green. But first, this segment is proudly brought to you by STI Guns. They are Texas-made and Texas-proud, based right there in Georgetown. They've been manufacturing some of the world's premier pistols for over 25 years. I absolutely love my 45, by far the best handgun that I've ever owned. STI sets the standard in 1911-style pistols. So do what I did and check them out at STIGuns.com. And go Texan, go STI. Well, let's go ahead and welcome our next guest to the program. He's actually here in studio with us, and he's brought his guitar. He happens to be one of my favorite Texas singer-songwriters, William Clark Green. Thanks for dropping in, man.
It's good to be here.
Well, it is certainly my pleasure, and man, we have got a lot to get into, not a lot of time to do it. Just looking at y'all's tour schedule, you've got dates coming up in April all over the place.
Yeah, this new record, man, we're getting out there for sure. We're going doing a lot of stuff in the Midwest. I just got confirmation I'm going out to the West Coast with Josh Abbott and hopefully Adam Hood. And we're about as busy as we wanted to be, so we got what we asked for.
Very cool, very cool. Well, we're definitely going to talk some hunting here and hear some great Texas music as you've got your guitar with you. But just so our listeners get to know you a little bit better, you were actually born in Flint, Texas?
Yeah, I was born in Flint, Texas, which is right outside of Tyler. And moved in sixth grade. After sixth grade, I moved to College Station, Texas. And then after I graduated high school, I moved to Amarillo. And then after Amarillo, I moved to Lubbock to go to school. So I've seen all of Texas pretty much.
Right on. And just from what I know about you, kind of your stomping ground is the legendary Blue Light out there in Lubbock.
Yeah, Lubbock is was a major, major part of my life and a very, very good one. It's really where the music started. Really where the music started happening for me, even though I'd been writing back in middle school and high school, it's where I actually was public about it, I guess. And really, man, had a lot of great duck hunts out there in college. Missed a lot of class hunting out there out in Tahoka, Texas. We would go out to the Playa Lakes, and I didn't know what to expect duck hunting in West Texas, but, man, it's about as good as it gets in Texas as far as I'm concerned with duck hunting.
One of my buddies from Denton, actually, he was a senior in high school, and I was a senior at UNT, and we ran into each other at a local sporting goods store looking at teal decoys,
And he was like, yeah, man, I know that, you know, these lakes up here like the back of my hand. And we started hunting together. Well, he moved out to Lubbock to go to school just for the duck hunting.
Yeah, it's kind of a hidden gem up there. Not very many people know that the duck hunting is good out there. Everybody thinks you should go east towards the marshes or towards Arkansas.
Geese too.
Geese, sandhill cranes. But the best part about Lubbock and that surrounding areas are the farmers. The farmers will let you hunt their property with their permission, of course, for free. Mm-hmm. And they have a Playa Lake. The biggest challenge we had was some Playa Lakes turn into saltwater for a couple years, and then after a couple years, they turn back to freshwater, depending on how long they're there. And the ducks don't like landing in the saltwater pond. So we set up a few, and we never knew how to tell. So we just kind of set up blinds, and then if they didn't show up, we moved to a different one. Right. So, but yeah, it was incredible duck hunting. A lot of spoonbills, but you know, you could pass shoot sandhill cranes, which is, I mean, that's the best meat I've ever had out of a bird. And the farmers were kind enough to let us do it. I mean, good people out there in West Texas for sure. It's some of the best I've seen in the state.
Very cool. Yeah, I go out there every year for the pheasant opener, but you know, the last two or three years, man, the drought has just killed it. As far as the pheasant hunting goes, it's been terrible. So we kind of just refocused and just mainly gone after geese and cranes.
Yeah, when I was in college in Lubbock, we had a bad drought year, but the majority we had pretty wet seasons, and so the Playa Lakes were full. And we had some great hunts, man, out there. I mean, it was so easy to do. I mean, we wouldn't even go to sleep. But we've hunted in blizzards, and we've broken ice. It's crazy how good a hunting it is out there for ducks. I mean, our ranch is outside of Beaumont, so that's a 12-hour drive from Lubbock. So duck hunting was a long way away, you know, my duck hunting home. And we kind of made do up there and ended up being better.
Yeah, man. I mean, Lubbock and the surrounding area and the panhandle out there, just one of my favorite places to visit, because no matter what, I mean, there's always something flying, and the bird hunting out there is just phenomenal. But let's go ahead and talk about the new record, Rose Queen, which will come out on April 30th. The first single off the record, It's About Time, has done very well on the Texas music chart. You know, it's getting a lot of play statewide.
Yeah, it's our best single for sure. It was our first top 10. We got to 10, so we were. It's a very modest top 10, you know. And it was actually our goal for it was teens, but the fans just kept requesting it, which was great. I mean, we were very proud and honored to be up considered, you know, top 10 song on the chart, and we're really looking forward to showing everybody the rest of the record. It's a record we worked very hard on and sacrificed a lot of hunting and college football for it. So. We're very proud of it.
Well, why don't you go ahead and play us the next single off of Rose Queen?
This song is our next single. It hits radio in about a week, and it's called She Likes the Beatles. And I wrote this song with Brian Keene, who is a phenomenal songwriter and guy. And his wife actually produced our album.
Well, William, the floor is yours, my friend. Let's go ahead and take a listen.
Well, she likes the Beatles. Stone, she likes romantic movies. I like Indiana Jones. Yeah. She goes to church and I stay at home. Oh, she likes the Beatles and I like the Stones. We met by the river in the mid-morning light. She swears it was late afternoon. Well, she fell in love by the time it was night, but I didn't give in till June. But not long after we said I do, well, she had the nerve to move in. Well, she painted the walls, she pinned up my dog, and she kicked out all of my friends. Well, she likes the Beatles, but I like the Stones. She likes romantic movies. I like Indiana Jones. Yeah. She goes to church and I stay at home. Oh, she likes the Beatles and I like the Stones. Well, she burns through money like I burn through smokes. Well, she says that I need to quit. 'Cause if I die from cancer in 25 years, she'll have to pay off the debt. And no, she don't.
don't think I'm funny. She don't laugh at my jokes. I can care less about all her shoes. But my parents both hate her, but it evens out, cause her parents both hate me too. She likes the Beatles and I like the Stones. She likes romantic movies, I like Indiana Jones. Yeah, she goes to church and I stay at home. Oh, she likes the Beatles and I like the Stones. She brings me coffee when I'm working late. She lifts me up when I'm low. She understands when I'm carrying weight that I just have to hold up alone. She's determined and honest. She's stubborn and strong, and I always know where she stands. So it never bugs me, she's always wrong. As long as she's along with her hand in my hand, she likes the Beatles, and I like the Stones. She likes romantic movies, I like Indiana Jones. Yeah, she goes to church and I stay home. Oh, she likes the Beatles and I like the Stones. She likes the Beatles and I like the Stones.
All right, great stuff, man.
Thank you.
Well, that's the latest single from our buddy William Clark Green. He's here with us in studio. That one's called She Likes the Beatles off the new record Rose Queen, coming out April 30th. We've got to take a break, but we will be right back. We'll talk some more hunting. Hear another Texas tune or two with William Clark Green, only on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show.
Hey everybody, this is Brian Spagnuolo from TexasMotorCars.com. I'm here today to tell you about the best place in Texas to shop for your next vehicle. TexasMotorCars.com is a family-owned and operated business located in Addison, Texas. We have a huge inventory of pre-owned vehicles and specialize in trucks and SUVs. Please visit TexasMotorCars.com today. Come see me, Brian Spagnuolo. Our phone number is 972-481-1660.
Ben Lofton Fencing is Texas' premier fencing company. They apply a design it right, build it right the first time mindset to all projects. And with 15 plus years experience, there's no job they won't tackle. Ben Lofton Fencing specializes in deer and exotic game fences, breeder and handling facilities, water gaps, as well as farm and ranch fences, and corrals and working pens. Better Business Bureau certified, they offer the quality and personal service you expect. So for your next fencing project, go Texan and call Mr. Lofton himself at 254-709-1320 or visit benloftonfencing.com. Do you have a hog problem at your ranch or deer lease? We have the solution. The System Hog Trap comes in two sizes, 17-foot and 30-foot diameter traps. After you trap the hogs, take the top section off the trap and use it for another feeder site to keep the hogs away from the feeder. The System is both a trap and a deer food plot fence. That way you don't waste your money on just a hog trap. Call 940-391-3669 or visit www.goinfencing.com. That's goinfencing.com.
2011 Z521 Ranger Boat with a 250 Pro XS Mercury Motor.
Falcon Rods, Lounge Electronics, and Lake Fork Trophy Lures are just a few of the perks you'll enjoy when fishing with Lake Fork fishing guide Heath Hardwick. Customer service is Heath's primary goal. Well, that and putting you on the fish of a lifetime at the legendary Lake Fork, Heath has built his business on integrity. His passion is bass fishing, and he loves sharing a lifetime of knowledge with all of his customers. So call Heath Hardwick at 903-440-2358 or visit him at heathhardwick.com. That's Heath Hardwick.
The new Bobcat utility vehicle is here at Bobcat of Dallas and Fort Worth, and it's hungry. Get ready to work like an animal and love it. Powerful, ultra comfortable, and sure-footed, this lineup of vehicles delivers legendary Bobcat performance, so you can sink your teeth into a wide range of jobs. With twice the horsepower, 1,850 pounds of payload capacity, and four-wheel independent suspension, you will love it. Stop in at Bobcat of Dallas and Fort Worth to see for yourself.
It's about time, I see it in your eyes. I don't believe you when you start to cry. It's about time that everybody knows we ain't together, baby, anymore. It's about time, and I hope I don't cross the line.
That's the music of William Clark Green bringing us back on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, powered by Hoff Power Polaris and Chevy Silverado. It's About Time is the name of that one. That is the first single off of William and the guys' latest record, Rose Queen, which we are talking about in detail today, along with a little hunting and fishing, as William Clark Green is here with us in studio. We're going to pick it back up with him momentarily, but first, this segment is proudly brought to you by Sendero Seed Company, offering everything you need for your whitetail herd. So give your deer the nutrition that they deserve by calling 1-877-610-SEED today. They've even got the Dr. Kroll-backed Buck Forage Oats. That's 1-877-610-SEED. Well, William, thank you so much for sticking around through the break, man.
Yeah, thank you, man. It's been a fun talk. Anytime I get to talk, this is the first time I've talked songwriting and hunting together. So, and they you'd be surprised how much hand in hand they actually go. So,
well, that is the truth. I mean, there's nothing like a little guitar picking out at deer camp, sitting around the campfire. And hey, we do it every weekend on this show. We're always mixing up hunting and fishing and Texas music. Now, I know you're going to play us another song, and I'm going to make a special request because of the hunting and fishing references in this song. I'd like to hear Down on the Bayou. It's actually from your second studio album, Misunderstood. And I love how you work in the mention of the speckle belly and the mallard hen. And I think that you actually wrote this song down at your family ranch outside of Beaumont.
Yeah, this song is called Down the Bayou. Our place is outside of Beaumont. It's really in between Winnie and Port Arthur on Highway 73. And it, like I said, in high school and growing up, it's where I really learned how to hunt. And we've got an incredible place. It's a lot. I mean, it's pretty much Louisiana. I mean, it's all marshes and airboats and go devils and four wheelers, and sometimes it's too much fun. And I went down there for a week by myself a few years ago. And wrote Down the Bayou off our Misunderstood album on the front porch, and it was a song. I mean, every record I've come out with, I put some kind of Cajun song on a record because our family is French and we're from Louisiana and Southeast Texas area, and it was a fun one. I was glad. I hope I represented that part of the country well.
Well, let's go ahead and take a listen.
This is a song that I wrote at our family ranch out in Beaumont, Texas. This is where we do a majority of our duck hunting and hog hunting. It's called Down the Bayou. I wrote this on the front porch.
It's been raining all day, I can't go home. Yeah, the truck is stuck and the motor's blown. Catfish are cooking at the Pine Tree Lodge. Drink a little whiskey down at the bar. Drink a little whiskey down at the bar. Oh, there's Barefoot John with two left shoes. He's got a Pabst Blue Ribbon and a Gumbo Blues. The oil's still pumping and the money's strong, but he gave it to a woman, now she's gone. Gave it to a woman, now she's gone. I wanna go home, but I can't complain. Living the life that a coon has dreamed. The water's rising, but it's running slow down on the bayou. I'm gonna put my troubles in a frying pan with the speckled belly goose and a mallard hen. Gypsy dance with the Cajun moon. Gypsy dance with the Cajun moon. So let me sing you a song, sing a melody, do the alligator stomp on top the levee. The phones are down, I
They all washed away with the Gulf Coast Blues. Washed away with the Gulf Coast Blues. I wanna go home, but I can't complain. Living the life that I couldn't ask for. The water's rising, but it's running slow.
I love it, man. That's the only song I've ever heard that talks about a speckled belly goose.
Yeah, you know, speckled bellies is something I miss thoroughly. In West Texas, you don't get snow geese and speckled bellies up there. It's just Canadians. And trust me, in Southeast Texas, if you shoot a Canadian goose, you're in the paper. It's nothing but snow geese and speckled bellies down there. And they're fun to shoot, man. That's a fun bird to hunt. And that was something I guess I was missing, you know, when I was in Lubbock and I went down to visit the ranch, had some time off. It was something that I missed, seeing the speckled bellies and snow geese. I mean, they cloud the sky up there, you know.
Very cool, very cool. So would you say that waterfowling is probably, you know, out of – you told me earlier off the air that you've done deer hunting and stuff as well. And I know you and Ray Johnson are actually going turkey hunting here. But is waterfowling, like, number one on your list?
Yeah, I would say the main reason is I believe it's the toughest hunting out there. You can't. There's no controlled situation. I mean, you kind of go out the weather. I mean, and the worse the weather is, the better the hunting is. So, it's tough. It's tough to do. It's fun. If they could just move, if you just didn't have to wake up so early to do it, it would make it a lot more convenient. But. Yeah, I would say, I mean, that's really, I mean, I've dabbled in deer hunting and I like shooting pigs too. But I'd say waterfowl for sure is on top of the list. And I don't think it's ever going to change from that. I mean, it's just a lot of fun going out in the marsh or, you know, jumping ponds or whatever you're doing.
Now, do you have a dog?
I have a dog, but he's a blue and red heeler. And I wanted to get a lab, but he travels with us. Mm-hmm. And labs are a nightmare when they're about 1 to 2 years old. Yeah. And I just couldn't imagine the energy keeping it at bay on the road. A-Bear, our dog, is a blue and red heeler, and he's had one retrieve for a dove about 20 yards. He dropped it at my feet, and he hadn't picked up another one since. So, you know, a lot of labs, they don't pick up doves. They'll pick up ducks, but the feathers, they don't like them. And A-Bear loves the water, and he's trained. I trained him on a lab regiment, you know, because that's my dad trained labs growing up, our labs growing up. And I haven't taken him on a duck hunt, but he loves the water and he'll stay and he can read a line too. So maybe not well, but I think it'd be cool to see if he could have a blue heeler hunting dog. That'd be fun, but he's more of a companion and a good road dog. I mean, he keeps us company and makes us laugh every once in a while.
Right on. Well, Maverick and Bell are here in studio with us. So, you know, I've got an extra one if you ever need one.
I would love to, man. There's nothing worse than duck hunting without a dog, man. You learn, I mean, they're fun. That's part of the experience duck hunting is watching the dog work, you know, and seeing his mistakes and his success on hunting. You know, that's a really major part of duck hunting. And duck hunting without a dog is just not the same experience, mm-hmm. which in college we did, you know, we shot birds and we picked them up after the hunt, but it's a lot of fun watching a dog work for sure.
Well, yeah, and the old one, Maverick, he's about to be 11. I'd say that he's taught me as much about duck hunting as I've ever could have taught him. You know, I mean, just there's been so many times where me and my buddies are just, you know, cutting up, you know, having a cup of coffee or whatever. And he just starts whining and we're like, hey, shut up, dude. What's wrong with you? And then you look up and they're like, oh, there's like four ducks coming in, you know, cuffed with wings down. And he's trying to tell you, hey, stupid, yeah. Pay attention.
Yeah, and you're watching the dog too, man. You learn that lesson. And I'm just glad ducks don't flare off dogs. So, yeah. You know, I was taught a long time ago, keep your heads down, but you can't see the sky. So I've learned to watch the dogs for sure. And dogs that truly love it, it's in their blood. They love doing it. It's fun to watch.
What about fishing? Did you do a lot of that growing up?
I did. I was more of I'll tell you my deep sea fishing experience. And I went last year, my buddy spent his whole life savings He lives in Beaumont on this 35-foot catamaran, two Yamaha K-wise, two who gives a crap. And he spent like $60,000 on this boat and used. They shipped it from like Maryland or something. And he got this boat, and we went out 50 miles offshore. And I brought my buddy who was in the Coast Guard, because I'm not going 50 miles. I've heard horror stories, you know, about deep sea fishing. So I brought my buddy who was in the Coast Guard with us. And we had 3 and 4 foot waves, which is not that much. I had about the worst time of my life. And it's not like when you went out there, it was like fishing. It was like fishing at grandma's house. It's just a bigger rod and a bigger bobber. Like there's no, you know, it's cool to catch the big reds. I love red snapper but I love bay fishing, and I'm a big, big, instead of fishing lakes, I like fishing ponds on farms, you know, that's just a lot of fun. A good one, not just like a 1 acre little hole in the ground and you get the, you know, but I like fishing out in the middle of nowhere with, you know, mm-hmm. stuff like that. But I'm not a good fisherman by any means, but I do enjoy it. I do enjoy it. And I normally have to be with someone who knows what they're doing to catch something.
Yeah, you got to get the Dramamine if you're going to go offshore. I mean, I still have to take that. I love it, but if I don't have the Dramamine, forget about it.
Yeah, I took Dramamine, and I think that's what ruined the trip for me, because it makes you drowsy. Uh-huh. And I fell asleep on the boat.
Really?
And I fell asleep in a sitting position, and I caught a few. I mean, I wasn't even excited about catching the fish. I was so tired. I mean, we caught the fish and my first red snapper, and I was like, oh, cool. And I took a nap in the cab, you know, but... The bay fishing, my sister caught one of the biggest bull reds I've ever seen in a photograph. And it almost yanked her off the boat. And that was a lot of fun. We were fishing by the jetties, and just, you know, bay fishing is where I'm at. But I haven't been out deep sea when it's calm either. And I know 3 and 4 footers aren't that big, but man, that's.
Hey, 50 miles is a long way.
50 miles is a long way. And it takes a while from Beaumont to get off the shelf. We go out of Sabine Pass, and to get off the shelf, it takes a while. Mm-hmm. And but yeah, those 3 and 4 footers was not fun for me. I would rather have been doing a lot of different things at that time. But it was an experience. I would love to go. I heard you can go out on clear days where the water's like glass, and it's great. But when you're 50 miles out, I mean, the weather can change in a minute, and you can have 5 footers. And I don't ever want to see 5 footers, you know, ever.
Well, I've experienced the good and the bad. I've been out there in the 5 footers, and also been out there on a crystal clear day. And yeah, you're right. It gets a little rough, and on those days, I might spend a little bit more time just laying down with my eyes closed until we get to the rig or wreck or wherever we're fishing. But yeah. It's all worth it, though, for me, because you can't beat red snapper as far as table fare goes. You know, just cut it up raw and eat it as sushi right there on the boat. That's what we do when we come back into Port Aransas. But, hey, man, I want to thank Ray Johnston, our mutual friend, for hooking us up. And he mentioned that you guys were planning on doing a little turkey hunting this week.
Well, we don't know if it's for sure yet, but I have a buddy that lives outside of Abilene that's got some property. And last time we went out, we saw huge groups of turkeys. I mean, I was talking... The biggest I've ever seen, I was like 30, 40 in the group in a planted field. And I've never seen that many turkeys together. But, I'm not that familiar with turkey hunting.
Well, you're in for a lot of fun if you guys do make it out.
I got my shotgun ready, so.
There you go, man. Well, hey, it's been a blast getting to know you a little bit today. I encourage everyone to check out the new record, Rose Queen, comes out April the 30th. For y'all's full touring schedule, you can go to williamclarkgreen.com. And then you're also on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter's William C. Green. Facebook's William Clark Green. Yeah, shoot me a line if you have any questions, and I'll try to get back to everybody. Feel free.
William, enjoyed it, brother.
Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
So there he goes, the great William Clark Green. Man, look at the time. We have got to get out of here. Thanks to both of our guests today. Of course, Trevor Brittingham. Enjoyed hearing him share his story about Indigo, the 14-year-old whitetail buck that he finally harvested this past season. Also, of course, William Clark Green. We've got another great show lined up for you next week. Andrew Zimmern, author, angler, hunter, and, of course, the host of Bizarre Foods on Travel Channel will be here. Also, one of my favorite Texas country artists, Brandon Ryder, will stop by, and we will talk some fishing with Captain Lynn and possibly even do a little stuff on the crappie spawn with the great Paul O'Beer. So it's going to be another great show next week. Thanks to all of our sponsors for making this show possible. Thanks to you, the listener, for being a part of the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show. Until next time, I'm Cable Smith saying, y'all have a great week in the outdoors.
We love them all, from east to west, but no matter where we go, we like Texas women best, because they're from Texas. They do things their way. Yeah, they're from Texas, buddy, and that's still their dying day. And we're from Texas.
It's time to shoot for the stars again with the State Fair of Texas. Every year, the State Fair awards thousands of dollars in scholarships to Dallas area students as well as rural youth across the state. The fourth annual Shooting for the Stars Sporting Clay Shoot is an integral part of raising scholarships for these youth. Join us April 26th at the Dallas Gun Club. Teams and sponsorships are still available at bigtex.com under livestock or email us at auction@bigtex.com.
Manly Rods. Get your hands on one. The Manly Rods Adjust-A-Butt System is the most revolutionary fishing product on the market today. This amazing system increases backbone strength, height, and sensitivity and allows the fishing rod butt to be adjusted to any desired length. The patent-pending Adjust-A-Butt System is standard on all Manly Rods and available to custom rod builders, which means endless customization possibilities for all you fishermen and fisherwomen. Check out ManlyRods.com. Manly Rods. Feel the difference.
Hey everybody, this is Brian Spegnall from TexasMotorCars.com. I'm here today to tell you about the best place in Texas to shop for your next vehicle. TexasMotorCars.com is a family-owned and operated business located in Addison, Texas. We have a huge inventory of pre-owned vehicles and specialize in trucks and SUVs. Please visit TexasMotorCars.com today. Come see me, Brian Spagnola. Our phone number is 972-481-1660.
We all need a friend in the gun business, and that's why you should check out B&S Guns. Family owned and operated since 1987, we offer a lifetime warranty on all firearm purchases. At B&S, we have a gunsmith on staff at all times, and our 5,000 square foot building contains all your hunting and firearm needs. Open 7 days a week, we specialize in Nikon, Leopold, Browning, Remington, Swarovski, Benelli, Zeiss, and many more. Conveniently located in Garland, call 972-226-1816 or visit bsgunstore.com. That's bsgunstore.com.
All right, listen up, all you Texas outdoorsmen and women. SDS Outdoors is a top-tier manufacturer and distributor of high-quality, feature-rich, luxury outdoor products. Their product lines include luxury deer blinds, deer blind windows, gun range towers, bow fishing boats, and a whole lot more. Call SDS Outdoors at 214-551-1530 or check them out online at www.sdsoutdoors.com.
Chevy Silverado has been recognized by Vincentric for lowest total cost of ownership of any full-sized pickup. Based on factors like depreciation, fuel, and maintenance, visit your local Chevy dealer to find out why the Silverado is a smart choice. Based on Vincentric US 2012 model level analysis.